Like many of you, I've been watching the news coverage of the second attempt on Donald Trump's life. But I've been surprised that there's a lot of information that the mainstream media is not telling you. We're going to cover 10 things you missed about Trump's assassin. Most people are covering this story as if the Secret Service did a good job. They successfully stopped the assassin. Now, I agree that it's a good thing they stopped Trump from getting shot, but I strongly disagree that they did a good job. When you start to break down what actually happened here, there are so many failures of security. Let's go back to the first attempt on Trump's life in Butler, Pennsylvania. The biggest question there was, why did the Secret Service allow Trump to go on stage? Fast forward to the second attempt on Trump's life, and it's the same question. Why did they allow him to go out on that golf course without securing the location first? They sent him out there unprotected with a gunman on location. It's the same problem. Why does the Secret Service keep sending Trump out unprotected? What is supposed to happen is they keep Trump in a bulletproof vehicle until they have scouted the location and know for sure that it is secure. Then they let Trump go outside. It seems like what they did here was tell Trump, "You go start your round of golf, and we'll walk ahead of you and look out for danger." Now, it is wonderful that they saw the shooter in time, but why did they not secure the golf course first, before allowing Trump to walk out there? Let's look at the map. Trump was here. The shooter was here. The Secret Service agents were going on ahead, and they spotted the gun poking through the bushes. The story is the Secret Service fired off 4 shots. The assassin ran away and jumped in his car. I think this is unacceptable. The Secret Service should have scouted this out before Trump even stepped onto the course. And why did they even let this guy run away? Did they even try to chase him? In fact, the only reason they have the assassin in jail is because a civilian recorded his license plate and the Florida police chased his car down. The Secret Service had nothing to do with capturing him. The current head of the Secret Service addressed this criticism in a press conference.
So this was an off-the-record movement. It wasn't a site that was on his scheduled, it wasn't part of his schedule. So there was no posting up of it because he wasn't supposed to have gone there in the first place.
He says they did not secure the location because it was a last minute change to the schedule. What a bunch of baloney. We've all seen in every movie made about a president that even in unscheduled stops, the Secret Service secures the location first before letting the president walk around. It almost seems like there was a conscious decision to leave Trump exposed. But it gets worse. Trump tells the story that the gunshots went off and then Secret Service converged on him to protect him.
What the gunfire was actually, interestingly, was a Secret Service agent had seen a barrel of a AK-47, which is a very powerful gun, rifle, and he started shooting at the barrel, started shooting in the bushes.
Wow.
Could only see the barrel. How good is that, right? But could only see the barrel. Based on that, he started shooting and ran toward the target and was shooting a lot of, I mean, those were the shots we heard. The other one never got a shot off.
Steve Witkoff described it to me this way. The president confirmed the story. They heard pop, 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 pop. They knew it was a gunshot. Immediately, within seconds, the president was on the ground, covered by brave Secret Service agents that did their job, protected the president, immediately got him out of the area and to safety.
Does anyone see the problem with this? That's the wrong order of what should have happened. If the Secret Service agents saw the gun barrel poking out of the bushes, why didn't they immediately call to send Trump to safety before they started firing? They should have gotten Trump out of there first. Instead, they decided to engage in a firefight without warning the president, where the president could have gotten shot in the crossfire. We're so lucky that nothing happened to Trump. it seems like he dodged another bullet. But it gets worse. Look at the map again. The bushes are right next to a sidewalk and a busy road. So these Secret Service agents fired into the bushes without being able to see what was behind them. They were firing blind shots. There could have been civilians back there. There could have been cars on the road. They did not know where they were shooting. Any firearms expert will tell you, do not fire through bushes into an open road that you cannot see. Why did they fire at all? They didn't hit the assassin. So did they fire without having him in their sights? Why would they do that? Or maybe they did not intend to hit him at all. Maybe they purposely missed in order to let him get away. That seems more likely to me than these agents firing into a busy street. So even after the first attempt on Trump's life, there are still problems with the Secret Service. Number one, they let Trump walk out onto the golf course without securing the area. Two, they failed to get Trump to safety before the shooting started. Three, the agents were firing into the bushes blind. And four, they let the assassin get away. This is a complete failure by the Secret Service. I think it's ridiculous that it's a week later and we don't have answers to any of these questions. The current head of the Secret Service needs to be fired immediately. At this point, I think all the Secret Service needs to be replaced. Trump needs to hire his own private contractor security force to protect him because the current protection is not working. All this suggests to me that there is a traitor in Trump's inner circle. If Trump's trip to the golf course was not on his set schedule, someone had to have told the assassin that Trump was going to be there. We know from court documents that the shooter's cell phone indicated that he was on location for 12 hours waiting for Donald Trump to arrive. That morning, Donald Trump had breakfast with a few people. Sean Hannity explains that the decision to go golfing was a last-minute choice.
A good friend of mine, good friend of the president's, we went to breakfast. He was trying to get me to go play golf with him. I really don't play a lot of golf. And I said, thank you, but I got work to do.
But it could not have been last minute if the shooter was waiting for 12 hours. Donald Trump must have told someone the night before that he was thinking of going golfing. I'm guessing this could have only been a handful of people. Trump should be able to figure out who the traitor is. And maybe they don't know they were a traitor. Maybe someone communicated the schedule up to the Department of Homeland Security, who is in charge of the Secret Service. Maybe the Department of Homeland Security leaked the information. But whoever leaked it, the circle of people who knew is small enough now that they should be able to trace who leaked the schedule change to the assassin. If the assassin was there, someone on the inside had to have told him about it. I want you to listen to what happened when the assassin walked into court.
Ryan Ruth walked into that federal courtroom this morning, smiling, shackled by his hands and feet. He was even seen laughing while speaking to his court-appointed attorney.
He smiled and laughed in court. That's very strange. This is reminiscent of the old mob trials, where a member of the mob goes on trial, but he laughs and smiles because he knows he will be protected. This assassin is acting like he thinks he will be protected by someone. Is that someone a contact he has in the Department of Homeland Security? The name of the assassin is Ryan Wesley Ruth. One thing that strikes me as odd is the assassin was wearing a bright pink shirt. We can see this in the video footage of his arrest. It's almost neon pink, it's so bright. This is very strange. Normally, assassins will want to wear colors that blend in. Maybe camouflage or gray. Not bright pink. No wonder the Secret Service agents saw him in the bushes. How could you miss him? He seems like the world's worst assassin. Maybe he wasn't meant to be an assassin. Maybe he was meant to be a patsy. What is extremely concerning is there is a connection between Ryan Wesley Ruth and the shooting in Butler, Pennsylvania. I cannot believe that no one in the mainstream media is talking about this. the FBI has announced the identity of the first shooter was Thomas Crooks. But if you watched my video on the first attempt on Trump's life, you know that many people are questioning whether the shooter's body was actually someone else named Maxwell Yurek. It is also concerning that the shooter's body was secretly cremated and the FBI washed all the DNA evidence off the roof. So now there is no way for anyone else to verify the identity of the body. We can see the discrepancies just by looking at the photos of the dead body. Here you can see where the body has a scar on the ear where there were ear gauges. Maxwell Yurek had ear gauges, whereas Thomas Crooks did not. Someone showed me something that is even more shocking. Photos of Maxwell Yurek show that he had a mole on the right side of his neck, in the exact same spot as a mole on the dead body. Photos of Thomas Crooks show that he had no mole. This raises questions about whether the FBI is lying about the identity of the first shooter. What would they be trying to cover up? All this is important because it has been reported that Maxwell Yurek recently traveled to Ukraine to help with fighting in the war effort. He allegedly returned from Ukraine in April of this year. We know that Ryan Ruth was also in Ukraine because he was profiled in multiple American news outlets, including the New York Times. Ryan Ruth worked as part of a group called the International Legion, who helped recruit international soldiers to fight for Ukraine in their war against Russia. If Maxwell Yurek was in Ukraine for the war effort, he would have likely known Ryan Ruth. Isn't that a crazy coincidence that these two suspects are connected to both attempts on Trump's life through Ukraine? It's almost like both attempts were committed by the same group of people. I hope the news media starts asking about this. And can someone also start asking why the FBI would wash all the DNA evidence off of the roof? But there is another connection between both attempts on Trump's life. Both Thomas Crooks and Ryan Ruth appeared in commercials that are linked to a company called BlackRock. If you don't know what BlackRock is, it is one of the largest financial companies in the world. Thomas Crooks appeared in a commercial for a pension fund.
I hope when I retire someday, they say, you know, that guy made this place a special place to come.
This is Thomas Crooks. Ryan Ruth appeared in a commercial for the Azov Battalion to gain support for the war efforts in Ukraine. Now, BlackRock has released a statement saying that they have nothing to do with the commercial that Ryan Ruth was in. They claim that they're only responsible for making a commercial with one assassin, not both assassins. The commercial with Ryan Ruth was released by the Azov Battalion, and BlackRock says they had nothing to do with it. But that's a little like splitting hairs, because BlackRock is one of the largest funders of the war in Ukraine. Here's a press release from BlackRock announcing their deal with the country of Ukraine to fund reconstruction efforts. They recently joined with JP Morgan to create a $411 billion Ukraine Development Fund. Basically, every dollar that is spent rebuilding Ukraine, BlackRock is receiving interest on that money and is making a lot of profit. If BlackRock were to launder money through the Azov Battalion, and then the Azov Battalion uses their money to fund a commercial with the other assassin, could BlackRock then say that they had nothing to do with it? I guess they could say that. But most people would realize that it is a strange coincidence that Ryan Ruth was one of the few Americans in a country where BlackRock is spending all this money. I want to remind people of something. In 1933, there was a coup attempt in America. It was called the Business Plot. This happened during the Great Depression when FDR became president. A group of elite, wealthy bankers formed a conspiracy to overthrow the government of FDR and instead install a dictator named Major General Smedley Butler. The coup attempt was stopped because General Butler came forward about the plot and testified in front of Congress about the bankers' treason. All the bankers denied any existence of the plot, and no one was prosecuted. At the time, it was Republican bankers trying to overthrow a Democrat president. But what is really shocking is the roles have now reversed. The Democrat Party is now the party of the elite wealthy bankers, and the Republican Party represents the interests of everyday Americans. The question we need to be asking is whether this could be happening again. Could wealthy elitist bankers at BlackRock be trying to overthrow the will of the people? It would be the same thing they did with the business plot in trying to take out FDR. Now, just so I don't get sued, let me make clear that we cannot say for certain if BlackRock was involved in trying to murder Donald Trump. But it certainly is concerning that both Thomas Crooks and Ryan Ruth appeared in these commercials. That's a very strange coincidence. Which brings us to the funding connection. How is this being funded? Ryan Ruth said in court that he makes about $3,000 a month, or $36,000 a year. He lives in Hawaii. It is very expensive to live in Hawaii. How does he live in Hawaii, travel to Ukraine, travel to Florida, purchase his guns on only $36,000 a year? Something doesn't make sense. If someone is watching this from Hawaii, can you please comment down below if I'm correct about this? I don't see how he can live in Hawaii and do all of these things on $36,000 a year. I think we need to follow the money, because someone is obviously funding his efforts. If Ryan Ruth is traveling to Ukraine, he probably has had at least some contact with the CIA or other US agencies. Is the CIA funding his efforts? We know that the BlackRock Fund is funding $411 billion for Ukraine. The US government has sent $175 billion to Ukraine. Is some of this money being used to fund Ryan Ruth? Could our own US government be funding the attempt to kill the frontrunner for president? We also know that corruption is a huge problem in Ukraine. An audit of the Ukraine Defense Ministry found that there were $260 million in financial violations last year alone. That's a lot of corruption. So Ukraine leadership is very incentivized to work with the Democrats to keep the money flowing. Is Ukraine paying to take out Trump? Maybe the Democrats are using their influence in Ukraine to take out their political opponent. More likely, everyone is working together. We have the CIA, BlackRock, US politicians, and Ukraine who could all be funding Ryan Ruth's attempt to take Donald Trump's life. Again, this is allegedly, we can't say any of this for certain, but I hope while they have Ryan Ruth in custody that they are asking where his money came from. The weapon used in the attack was an AK-47 rifle. This is very confusing. Ryan Ruth has a long criminal history. We're talking over 100 criminal charges. So how did he get an AK-47? If you go to a gun store and you ask to buy an AK-47, they have you fill out a form and do a background check. They would have seen the 100 criminal charges and they would not have sold him an AK-47. So how did he get the gun? Someone would have had to sell it to him illegally, or maybe he was given it by the CIA. This is another question I hope they ask him. How did he get an AK-47? Now, maybe you think I'm crazy and that this is all too unbelievable, and you just can't believe that the Democrats would try to take out their political opponent. But you still have the issue of Joe Biden and the White House using extreme language to try to stir up their base. They are calling Donald Trump an existential threat and a threat to democracy. They say that Donald Trump is so bad that anything is justified to keep him from winning. That's part of the problem. Just 2 days after the attempt on Donald Trump's life, Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre is calling Trump a threat to democracy.
It's been only 2 days since somebody allegedly tried to kill Donald Trump again. And you're here at the podium in the White House briefing room calling him a threat. How many more assassination attempts on Donald Trump until the president and the vice president and you pick a different word to describe Trump other than threat?
Peter, if anything from this administration, I actually completely disagree with the premise of your question. the question that you're asking. It is also incredibly dangerous in the way that you're asking it, because American people are watching. And to say that from an administration who has consistently condemned political violence, from an administration where the president called the former president and was thankful, grateful that he was okay, from an administration who has called out January 6th, called out the attack of Paul Pelosi, called out and said we need to lower the temperature after the Butler incident, and now for you to make that kind of comment in your question, because it, your question involved a comment and a statement. And, you know, it is, that is also incredibly dangerous.
So she says that it's dangerous for the press to ask questions about why she is refusing to change her rhetoric after the attempt on Trump's life. This is crazy. The rhetoric is part of the problem. Here's a survey that was just completed that shows 28% of Democrats say that America would have been better off if Trump had been assassinated. A huge portion of Democrats want Donald Trump to be killed. You don't see this response on the Republican side. Here is someone calling into C-SPAN in support of the shooters.
I just want to say I'm a very patriotic American. I did 20 years in the military, two tours of Vietnam, wounded in 1966, went back in 68. And I see we let this man, Trump, destroy America. And I look at it and say, well, these two people had to step up and take that shot. I'm 83, nothing to lose.
I'm sorry, Willie, you're not advocating violence, are you?
Not violence. I'm talking about defending my country.
All right.
This is getting so scary. The White House should be doing everything it can to stop these people. But instead, they're ratcheting up their rhetoric. This is especially wild when Joe Biden has been personally implicated in the problem. Here is Joe Biden being asked by the press what should be done to improve Secret Service protection.
I think we got a full report so far. We're down there tonight. But one thing I want to make clear, the service needs more help. And I think the Congress should respond to their needs if they, in fact, need more services. So that's what we're going to be talking about.
Are you concerned
they need more money? They need more personnel? They need more money? What kind of help do you say?
I think we need some more personnel. I think they're deciding whether they need more personnel or not.
Are you concerned about more personnel?
This is insane when it has been a very public scandal that Joe Biden has refused increasing the Secret Service detail for both Donald Trump and RFK Jr. Donald Trump has repeatedly asked for more Secret Service agents, and Joe Biden keeps denying his request. The danger is even worse than people thought.
I'll break a little news for you. I had a senior official from the Department of Homeland Security in my office before the second assassination attempt, saying that what he has assessed is that there are five known assassination teams in the United States. Three inspired by other governments, two that are here that are known domestic.
Representative Matt Gaetz is saying that the Department of Homeland Security knew beforehand of five teams trying to take out Trump. And still, the White House is refusing to change their language, and they are refusing the security that Trump needs. Joe Biden is definitely part of this problem. In a shocking development, the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, has taken control of the case and directed the attorney general of Florida to prosecute the assassin. They're going to investigate themselves rather than hand the suspect over to the FBI. One of the main concerns is the FBI is currently running multiple investigations trying to throw Donald Trump in prison. How can the FBI possibly run an unbiased investigation and protect Trump while at the same time they're trying to take him out? We see this from the FBI's investigation of the first attempt on Trump's life on July 13th. 2 months later, the FBI investigation has not told us anything about what happened that day, and it certainly didn't prevent a second attempt. What's even worse is that this investigation would have gone to the Florida FBI field office. This is the same field office responsible for the controversial raid on Mar-a-Lago. The Florida FBI field office is led by this man, Jeffrey Veltri. A whistleblower has come forward to Congress saying that Jeffrey Veltri previously had a lot of anti-Trump posts on Facebook. The head of the FBI, Christopher Wray, personally asked Jeffrey Veltri to take his post down so that he would look impartial. This is outrageous. People who run investigations are not supposed to be politically biased. But Christopher Wray didn't care about that. He just didn't want anyone to know about it. To be fair, the FBI claims that none of this happened and that the whistleblower is a liar. It's a good thing that Florida is stepping up. I hope they get to the bottom of some of these questions, unlike the FBI, who can't seem to answer any questions about Butler, Pennsylvania. But the most suspicious thing to me is the timing. Both attempts on Trump's life came after debates. Did you notice that? The first attempt happened right after the disastrous debate with Joe Biden. Joe Biden looked horrible. And then someone attempted to take out Trump. The same thing happened again. Trump debated Kamala Harris. Then a whistleblower came forward with bombshell evidence that Kamala cheated. This is disastrous for the Democrats. And then someone attempted to take out Trump. I mentioned the whistleblower in my last video last week. The affidavit has been released, and it's even worse than I imagined. This story is getting bigger and bigger. Apparently, the whistleblower has audio recordings of conversations where ABC and the Kamala Harris campaign were talking about cheating. This is far worse than ABC just being a biased network. The Harris campaign was involved in the cheating. They worked together. The affidavit was signed and mailed before the debate even happened, adding to the credibility of the whistleblower. ABC has now released a statement saying, Harris was not given any questions before the debate. But that doesn't really address any of the allegations by the whistleblower. The whistleblower claims, one, that they gave the debate topics, not the questions. Two, ABC agreed on topics they would not ask about. And three, ABC agreed to fact-check Donald Trump and not Kamala Harris. This is crazy. Here's Representative Dan Muser talking about bringing ABC in for hearings.
Fortunately, we now have a whistleblower. And I'm going to tell you something, Maria. We're going to do what we can to bring ABC in and have them answer some questions and as well as have this whistleblower and see what's going on as they're trying to tear down the First Amendment.
I hope they do this because ABC and Kamala Harris need to answer under oath whether they did this. And once they give their answers, we then need to listen to the audio tapes. This is potentially criminal. It's fraud against the American people and election interference. Kamala's not even been elected yet, and she's already, potentially, committing crimes. This is not the behavior you want from someone asking to be president. That's 10 things you may have missed about Trump's assassin. I hope for all of our sake that the investigation in Florida gets to the bottom of some of these questions. Now I want to hear from you. Was there anything I missed about the shooter that you think is important? Let me know in the comments down below. And if you like this video, go ahead and hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on future videos. If you like these videos, consider signing up to be a channel member on my website, wolvesandfinance.com. For $6 a month, you help me to keep making these videos. I'm Zach from Wolves and Finance. Thank you for watching.